Hey, Rebels. My name is Matthew Barton. Welcome to the Rebellion Brewing Podcast. There are many ways to tell a story, and one of the best ways is through video. It's no secret Saskatchewan's film industry has taken a beating over the last few years, but the rise of social media has made having great video content more essential than ever. Josh Stewart Van Dusen and his team at Tandem X Visuals are the masterminds behind the Hop Circuit videos you may have seen local breweries promoting on social media over the last few weeks. Today, I'm sitting down with Josh and we're talking all things Tandem X. So let's get into it. Josh, welcome to the show.
Matt, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. This is a fun format. I'm not used to just audio. I'm usually used to some video in being involved. So this is a new one for me.
I was really jazzed when you agreed to come on the show. I'm like, this guy's got great energy. Every time we get to work together, I'm like, I like this guy. I want to have him on.
I don't know where I got it from. Like, I believe it or not, up until like grade 12, I was by definition like introverted, quiet, and like grade 12 graduated, and I feel like I just came into this world, brushed it all off, and went like, I'm gonna be excited and crazy about everything. And so far reception's been pretty great, I think. Like, but I don't know, like, I'm like the Energizer Bunny, and I'm waiting for the one day where I just like slowly wind down, but we'll get there. I don't know.
I like it. I think it's okay to totally not be the person you were in high school. I think if you remain to be the person in high school as an adult, you maybe have a little bit of a problem.
Yeah, yeah. But they're the ones listening to the show, so we can't rag on them too much. So,
I know how I know you, but I don't really know how Tandem X got started. What's your guys' like superhero origin story?
It's an interesting one. And, you know, I can't take full credits. I'm only part of this story, and I joined a little bit later. But, you know, going to the origin stories of when Tandem started, it actually started with two brothers, my two partners, Wyatt and Zach. And, you know, normally people don't want to like look to a sibling and say like, do you want to work together? Like, that sounds like a great idea. But these guys, I don't know where it came from, but they just looked to each other and said like, you know what, let's start a business together. And, you know, that was incredible. That started about May 2018. And they just started crushing out videos. They had a passion for it. They've always done it as all the way from kids. They have stories of running around the yard with video cameras and editing, you know, random videos all together. And, you know, the aspirational wanted to go viral on YouTube. And, you know, those guys have, you know, multiple million view videos under their belt. So, you know, it actually just started from like an idea that like, let's just go create cool stuff. And you know, they started the company, and I you know, they went through the hard times. They went through the hustling free video phase. I joined when, you know, Tandem had a name and a brand and a logo. So I respect that these guys you know, were burning the midnight oil giving free videos away. But I joined the company about October of 2019 and kind of just joined and said like, let's scale this up. Let's get some get this brand known in Regina and really allow people to flourish on social. And, you know, when we joined, it was kind of interesting to kind of think of how can we develop this new concept? Cause like video production was a thing, like there's video production companies all over the place, but social media production is a whole new world. And like, you have cat videos, you have dog videos, you have kids falling over, you have Charlie bit my finger, but like, how do we actually create value for small businesses? So that's kind of the origin story of Tandem, is two brothers banded together. And you know, I joined in 2019, and here we are. We have seven staff now, including myself. We've just moved into a new studio. Things are going great. And I want to include one last thing as the origin story of how we've got our name, because names and businesses are pretty interesting. And I think Tandem has a story that not many people expect, because it's very anticlimactic. You know, when Wyatt and Zach kind of went to start the company, they said, what should we name it? And like Tandem, you know, it popped up one day, and Wyatt was like, Tandem, we should name ourselves Tandem because we work together. We're brothers. Smart. That's a cool name. But Tandem itself wasn't enough. Not enough spunk. And Tandem Visuals, like, yuck, that didn't sound as cool. So in order to really polish off the name, there's an X in there. Why? I don't know. It just sounds cool. Like there's no other reason besides that. It just sounds cool. Tandem X Visuals. So anyone that thinks that we have this epiphany of the greatest name in the world, which I will credit our business with a pretty great name, it really is just, you know, putting an X in there to sound cooler than we are.
I think a lot of small businesses rightfully agonize over a good name. I know Rebellion, we were at my kitchen table writing down names, and they argued for months, and it took forever to get to Rebellion. And I feel you when you say, we just threw an X in there.
It was simple. It was super, and it wasn't taken. I think those are the two very simple ways you can kind of get a business name. Is it simple, and is it taken? If it's simple, yes, take it. If it's not taken, take it. Just go with it.
And what is your role at Tandem X?
I have a pretty interesting role. I wouldn't say jack of all trades, because I think that comes with any entrepreneur, but my role is the director of business development. So day to day, like a day in a life for me, I work with clients, kind of helping them either better understand what they're looking for when asking for videos and photo and social media content. And a lot of people, like, it's a pretty new and fresh industry. So a lot of people just come to us and say, I need to grow this side of my business. I need social media to be, you know, part of my marketing strategy. So a lot of my job is just like talking with those people, really getting a good understanding of the requirements and objectifying their business. I think that that's one of the biggest things that I try to do is like, you might have an idea that you need to market, but why are we trying to market? And, you know, taking that back to, like, okay, creating a plan for the creative guys and then allowing them to take their creative juices and then spot all the issues that I haven't seen. And then they take the creative flair and run with the project. So day in the life, I kind of just talk to people for a living, and it's a pretty good job.
I think you just described something that's really important, and that's communication between the business and the people who will be creating the end product. I know that being the middleman or the translator is a very difficult position to put yourself into. I could imagine that clients will have a very different vision from what your team executes on. So it's important early on to have a shared language and definitions. And when people think, oh, well, it's just photos, just do it, or I just shoot with my cell phone, I could do this. And it's like, yeah. Well, there's a difference between a business making this fucking video and you on your potato shooting TikTok.
Yeah, absolutely. And the biggest misconception is like, it's just a 1 minute video. Like it's just 1 minute. 1 minute in the video world is a long, long, long time. And, you know, there's some projects we've done that it's been over 150 man hours to produce a 1 minute video. But it's just 1 minute though, right, Matt? Just 1 minute. So a lot of the time I do work with clients to kind of gauge and understand their expectations of, okay, you're asking for, you know, a 5 minutes or a 10 minute documentary. Well, let's talk about the budget before we get any further, because sometimes people ask and they just, No, you know, I can't blame them. Like, this video industry is very not, you know, consumer focused. No one knows what it costs to produce videos. No one knows all the people it takes and the man hours and the production and all that. So, hey, we can't blame them. I don't know the cost of brewing beer, and that's a science, and I'll leave that to you guys. I'll stick to video.
From personal experience at Rebellion, I'm the video guy. I'm the photo guy. Up to a point. Like, I worked as a journalist, I have some level of education, and it can take me 10 to 12 hours to produce something that's between 60 seconds to 3 minutes, let alone a fucking podcast, which takes me hours.
Yep.
And that's just me doing something very basic. I'm not like moving in like special post illustration pieces. When I looked at your guys' videos, you've got the film bouncing and you've got these slick transitions. The music is great and it bounces to the clips and it hits all those pieces.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the transitions and the wipes and the rolling animations, and I'm like, frick, this CGI is like, it looks simple and easy, but I know it's not. I'm like, fuck, that took forever. I'm like, but that's the difference you guys get to offer.
Yeah, and I think that that's where you know, it looks really crazy, but like, you know, the guys that we have, like the team we have is absolutely incredible. And sometimes we'll like actually talk to a client and it will be the craziest kind of, it will actually allow this client to go, I didn't expect this. Like, you guys created this, but this is way beyond what could I and like, that's where creativity really allows client projects to flare. And that's our favorite projects to do is when clients, you know, just say, you guys have creative freedom. There's no two better words in this world than creative freedom, because that's when we can really shine. That's when our crazy ideas and, you know, the extreme amount of experience that we have just goes into production and allowing that stuff to kind of shine. And, you know, that's, I had a conversation with Marshall last week, one of our video editors, and I was like, I'm just going to quickly edit this over here. And he says, can I ask a question? Should you be doing that? And I was like, oh yeah, it's quick and easy. Don't worry. I'll just, it'll probably be like 5-10 minutes. And he's like, Josh, this is 5-10 minutes for me. And I was like, say no more. And that's when I realized, like, I knew what he was insinuating. Like, I just, Kate, this is what I want you to do. And I'm just going to go back and talk to people because you get it, Marshall.
It's nice that you are able to walk in that world. But you don't need a Ferrari when you've already got your friend with a Ferrari.
Exactly. Like, I just take this little thing over to him and all of a sudden, bing, bang, boom, it's done in 5-10 minutes. And I didn't have to stress myself out, which is a big win in my book.
One of the things I wanted to celebrate with you guys or acknowledge you guys for that we haven't really had a chance to talk about was last year's Hop Circuit video. To put it into context for people, the city locked down and everybody just kind of shit their pants. And we're like, how do we promote the Hop Circuit when no one can go anywhere and everybody's afraid to go inside? And this was kind of right before masking all was like normalized. And I remember you guys came in and you were just like full of this bright, bubbly energy. And you're like, we're going to make a video for all the breweries in Regina because we love you guys. And we're like, okay, what can we do? Here's some beer. We'll get out of your way, whatever you need. And I had no expectation, like no understanding. And you guys just dropped it on our lap. And I was like, holy fuck, this is amazing. So I kind of wanted to back up and say, how did you guys even?
Yeah. I you know, one day, I don't know when we decided this. Like, at this point, it's been a year. Like, oh, I don't think my brain's consumed more in the last year than it's ever consumed. But, you know, we actually just stopped one day and thought, what happens when we can just do some cool things and people will just let us do it and they'll give us free beer to do it. And then we'll just spend a Friday doing the Hop Circuit with cameras. Little risk and liability there going around cameras after a few pints. So we designated drivers with us that would man the cameras and take us from place to place. And that was like the best way to experience the Hop Circuit. Highly recommend just get a DD and just do the round. It makes things super simple. But we just one day decided like, let's go and drink beer and take our cameras out. And at this point, it's, I think it was May of last year that we kind of started this and we did the Hop Circuit on a Friday and we had nothing better to do, if I'm honest with you. Like it wasn't like, okay, we have to push client work aside. Like it was drinking beer on our own or drinking beer at the Hop Circuit. So we chose like, let's go to the Hop Circuit. And, you know, we kind of had this idea that let's kind of add some creative flair and that creative freedom really started to flourish. And we wanted to really make it so people understood that the Hop Circuit is an experience that you can go and do with friends. So we had the whole team out. We went to all the different breweries and had pints and had laughs and ordered food. And like, for me, it's a really cool team building experience because not only are you going out and you're kind of celebrating and doing things and fun stuff, you get to do it with your friends. And then you also get to create cool content for the community. Like it hit every single thing that we kind of aspire to accomplish as a team is working on incredibly fun projects, doing stuff for the community to make it look good and beer. Like if all of a sudden, I'm going to preface this, clients, we do not accept beer as a currency, but it's the next thing to money. There's no better thing than getting beer paid for with a project.
I know I tried to slide you guys a little bit. I hope the other guys are as generous, if not more.
Absolutely. At what point is it a problem that we have just so much? You know, you can never have too much money, but I think at some point, based on the amount of people we have on our team, you might be able to have too much beer. So that's where we stop.
I know that you guys recently moved offices. Can you tell me about that kind of process?
Yeah, you betcha. So we moved from the warehouse district to the warehouse district. So far move. Shout out to the warehouse district. We'll get more into talking about that. But yeah, we made a decision like as a team, and as we just needed to continue growing. And we see the opportunity. We see a lot of we have a lot of faith in Regina. It's probably the best way to put it. Like, you know, the city's growing and we're a young, growing company, and we just needed enough space to not only kind of do our own production, but keep the team growing and give us some space and some breathing room to be able to kind of like have production space and have that also accessible for the team after hours and all that. So we moved on 2206 Dewdney, just right beside Bushwhackers, which, you know, this is a pretty dangerous spot for being in close proximity to beer. It's been great. Like, we moved in 3-4 weeks ago, and you don't realize how much furniture you need to fill 3,000 square feet until you try to fill it. So we're still kind of filling up the space, and I'm excited because once we don't have a pretty empty wall and we have couches and chairs and all that stuff, I can't wait to kind of, and restrictions kind of loosen up a bit, I can't wait to have people over and show off this new space, because the warehouse district looks good on us.
It's such an exciting time, and you guys are going to get to be here for when they kind of like blow up the street and narrow it, and it's going to open up all these, feels like, new business opportunities for you guys as more people are moving in and more things are happening. You guys are like riding that crest, you know? Was that intentional, or was that just a lucky accident?
We always wanted to move to the warehouse district. Like, it was just about where. Like, we love downtown. We love the warehouse district. And it kind of goes with that creative flair. Like, I couldn't imagine our team being able to produce incredibly creative projects being nuzzled in, like, the industrial sector of Regina, Saskatchewan. So we've always wanted to be in the warehouse district just because, you know, the ambiance and the people and the culture and the coffee shops and the beer, like, it all adds up. So I think we're meant to be here in this little warehouse district space. And, you know, I just like, you know, when I look out and I see all the opportunity that's coming to Regina in the near future on Dewdney and in this downtown warehouse space and baseball diamonds and all this sort of development, I get really excited because, you know, I know that we'll be able to look out our front office window and just look and see this incredible Regina. And right now we look out and we see this incredible Regina city skyline, and like, what a reward that is to work all day and go and look and see Regina out the front window. But when there's a baseball diamond and more breweries and restaurants right there, oh, it's gonna be hard to go home, I'll tell you that much.
Are you guys gonna wire your space with like speakers for tons of music? You know, you're gonna be kind of creating like a club vibe or something.
We have like a bunch of speakers right now. Google is our speaker system, so we have some little Google minis and some Google speakers across our studio. But yeah, we want to make it so like the whole goal out of the studio, and you know, me and Wyatt and Zach, all three of us, like, we want this to be a space where people don't want to go home. We want it to be a space where you want to come here on a Saturday. We want it to be a space that's welcoming and inviting, and that's not just work. Like, when you look at, you know, most offices, it's an office, and, you know, how can we get away from that? But most importantly, how do we create a space that, you know, curates and cultivates creativity? Because every day, like, you know, we only have so much creative juice in the tank, and, you know, we every day we crush edits and we put out contents, and like that creative juice gets down and down and down. You got to refill it somehow. So having a cool space with speakers and beer and couches and like TVs and like all this crazy stuff, like, it just allows our team to kind of have a space that doesn't feel like they're going to their cubicle to go and do their 8 hours. It's like, you know, let's hang out after work, hang out on the couch, and we've watched movies together. We do a ton of stuff in the studio just because, like, it's fun to hang out together and work together. And when you have a space, it makes it so much easier.
I know that one of the things we felt after working from home for a few months is our team missed that kind of, like, spontaneous fertilization of ideas where we could exchange and bounce off each other. to make something better. For a long time, it felt kind of flat, and I'd come in once a week to do all the photos for the rest of the week or all the video. And it kind of, becomes a grind and less fun because you can't be with your work buds, you know? And I can only assume that you guys maybe felt the same way. And this is a long way of getting to the question. The question leading to is, how excited are you for the city to reopen?
I'm super excited. Like, pandemic kind of took that energy away from Regina a little bit. It didn't take away our flame. We still had that spark. But, you know, it's hard to be excited. It's hard to see the vibrancy of the city. It's hard to kind of see what makes Regina, Regina, without seeing events and seeing people in the community and all those different aspects. And I'm really excited to see Regina open up because I miss that. I miss being able to kind of go to those events all the time and then, you know, have large scale events and like see people just like, oh yeah, this is why I live in Regina. Folk Fest, Cathedral Village Arts Festival, the exhibition, like all these incredible things. You know, it's hard to host those things in a non-virtual fashion. So I'm excited to see Regina kind of come back to reopening and then, you know, seeing those large scale events come back, seeing small business just like flourish. Like shopping local has never been stronger. And I know when, you know, there isn't as many restrictions, that's going to continue. Like Regina is a great city for support. And so I'm pumped. I can't wait for things to be like open air quotes there. Regina's great.
I've got it marked on my calendar. July 5th is when I get my second shot.
Yep.
So the literally like 14 days from that, I'm like, okay, we're going to have a barbecue.
Oh yeah.
Everybody who comes to the barbecue, get your vaccine. Here's your beer. Here's your, where the grill is fired up. We're going to have some brisket.
Oh, I think we have the same date for second dose vaccines. And like, if the moment you have that second dose, you're right, 2 weeks, 3 weeks after, I'm going to be the road runner and just, I'm going to go and do everything I possibly could. I just want to go and barbecue. I want to see friends. I want to shake hands. I want to do all these crazy things that it's been so long since I couldn't do those things, but I'm excited to be able to do it safely. And I'm glad that we made the sacrifice to kind of like, you know, let's wait off, but now it makes it even better. Those barbecue briskets taste even better after this long.
One of the things I know I wanted to do with you guys last year, never got the chance to, was have a pint. So I kind of slid it in the back door, dropped off some beer at your office today.
Yes.
We've got Blackbridge's Pilsner. And this bad boy, people are raving about it. Mark Heise, the president CEO of Rebellion, he was like, this is a signature Pilsner. This is something serious. You cannot pass this up. He's like, get it in you. It's really, really good.
I'm excited. Like, I love lighter beers. I hate to admit that, like, the Guinnesses of the world, I don't love those. But what I do love, I love. So I was excited. When you kind of dropped this off and I saw it sitting on my desk and someone was like, someone just dropped off beer for you. I don't know who, what. Like, oh, don't worry. I got that. No, that's my beer. And I'm excited. I can't wait to try it.
I'm going to get some nice crisp audio here for the show.
I just cracked mine as well.
I love it. It just came through my headphones, that nice pop. Jeff just cracked his. He's sitting across the office here. He's listening to the interview. He's got a big smile on his face.
Well, shall we? Cheers.
Cheers, man.
Yep, that's good. That's good. That's great. That's a great Pilsner.
Wow. It's really hoppy. Really nice. Got that classic noble bite.
Yep. But it's so smooth. Like, it's just such a great smooth beer. Light-bodied and refreshing. Golden in color with both bready malt and herbal hop in the aroma. Mmm. Delicious.
Yeah, it smells... like I expect a Pilsner should smell. This tastes like I think a classic Pilsner should taste.
Oh. Plus, like, I'm glad that I've got a couple of these here in the studio because it's going to get hot this week, and a beer like this, just it needs to be enjoyed on a 30 degree day. Like, oh, that's what pilsners are for. Just those hot summer days. There's nothing better than a cold, crisp pilsner.
I'll tell you, the very first beer I ever tasted was an OV, and it tasted like cigarette butts and copper pennies. It tasted awful. And I just thought that's what all beer tasted like. And it turned me off beer for years. I refused to go back because I was like, I hate beer. It tastes shitty. And then I realized, oh, wait, no. Just that one single beer that I had was probably stored improperly, and it was a brewed shittily, and it was just a piece of garbage beer.
Yep.
Like, Saskatchewan has this kind of like toxic, like a abusive relationship with the Pilsner brand, because they're used to the big Pilsner brand, the big P.
Of course.
And I'm like, that's not fucking Pilsner. That is not how a classic Pilsner tastes. That is marketing, and not. And like, I admit it's hypocritical of me to criticize somebody for falling for marketing, because that's basically my job, is to make you love us. But I'm like, there's such a better Pilsner out there.
It's a great Pilsner, and I share a very similar beer story where I tried beer, and like, just, you know, you know your first beer, you're like, who drinks bad apple juice this bad? Like, this is terrible. And then you really go off of it for a couple of years, and then you make your way back. My coming back to beer story is I joined a corporate job, and my corporate sales manager said, I got two questions for you. First, drink coffee. Nope. Okay, you're gonna have to start. Why? Because you don't go for water meetings, you go for coffee meetings. Okay, that's fair. And then he says, second question, do you drink beer? Nope, not that either. He's like, what do you drink? And I was like, rum and coke, it's pretty nice. He's like, nope, you're gonna drink beer from now on out. And I was like, why? Like, that sounds crazy. He's like, well, do you ask someone to go for a rum and coke? And I was like, I guess that's kind of weird. Yeah, you just ask them to go for a beer. He's like, well, time to start drinking beer. And that was it. That's the end of my story. I just started consuming beers, and then I realized I only had bad beers. You know, the Pilsners, the Kokanees. Like, you know, you don't buy beers in 24 packs and they're all incredible. That's fictional. That's BS. But when you get a good beer, especially an IPA, it hits different. It's like angels come down from above and just bless this beautiful can with greatness. And that's my definition of what IPAs are to me, is that. So thanks to my sales manager for really forcing me to go out of my comfort zone and force myself to drink beer. Because without him, I wouldn't know how great an IPA tastes on a hot summer day.
I love that story, man. I think Clayton, I know for a fact, Clayton, the guy who brewed this, he agonizes. He cares so deeply about this classic Pilsner Czech lager style. Like, he does not screw around with this. And
love it.
I'm really excited that he's created this signature kind of thing. And I know people are listening to the Rebellion Brewing Podcast, and maybe they are extra excited about Rebellion. But I also think you just need to be really excited about great beer in general. Yeah. And if you don't just support great beer, like, you taste this against any other Pilsner that's available right now in the market, and I think you're going to do, if you do a side by side, you're going to see a difference, and you're going to go, okay, this is how it should be.
Yeah, absolutely you will. Like, it's, you don't drink this and go back to a Pilsner. Like, you just don't do that. You know, like, that's like getting out of a Honda Civic, getting into a Lamborghini and going, you know what? I prefer the slower speed. Like, no one says that. you go with the Ferrari forever.
Well, you horrified me a little bit. You scared me when you said your first beer tasted like apple juice. I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry for you. Like, it's not supposed to taste like apples. That cotton candy sweetness, that's like corn syrup city.
Yeah, it wasn't good beer, which I think most first beer stories start off with, that wasn't good beer. but here we are, drinking great Pilsners. life is great now. This is how you know you've made it. You got a Blackbridge Brewery Pilsner to your left, Matt in front of you. Life's great.
I know you guys get to bop around the city a lot. I know that when I see your guys' work, I'm like, that's a Tandem X piece.
Yeah.
But what would you describe as kind of your guys' signature video that people would recognize most?
Signature
you don't have
video.
To be nice to me and say it's the Hop Circuit.
Of course,
I mean, you could, but...
I think the Hop Circuit definitely got us on the map because, like, that was seen by a lot of people. And, you know, my favorite, I think our, my favorite video and our most known video are two different things. I think our most known video, and not many people know that we produce this, but Rural Uber.
Yo, when's that Uber getting here?
Gotta be here any minute now.
What are we driving in?
It's kind of tough to say, actually.
A Massey Ferguson?
So I'm not sure if you've ever seen it, but it was a Justin and Greg production that we did in 2018, sitting at over 13 million views right now. Like, that's probably our most seen video. You know, it was a lot of fun. Like, Wyatt and Zach, you know, back when they were hustling free videos in 2018, they shot, produced, edited, and had this video out same day, 13 million views. And in that same day, Reef like filmed another video with Jimmy Fallon around Regina with the Experience Regina, and that had like 500,000-600,000 views. So these guys produced two videos in one day that got over 13.5 million views total. I mean, that's crazy. That is absolutely insanity. So I would think that's what people would know us for without knowing that we did it. If I'm just saying a video that we're known for, I'm going to take a wild stab and say any of the Audacity videos. Anything you see Audacity just screams Tandem X visuals, and not only just the incredible production quality, but like the stories that we get out of these entrepreneurs. And I think that that's what's really important to our production, is that not only does it have to look visually really good, it's got to have depth. And, you know, having the opportunity to kind of showcase all the entrepreneurs in the city, tell their stories, showcase why their businesses are great, it's a big win for us.
We have a long storied history with Justin and Greg themselves. Very early days, they came in and Mark's like, these guys have great energy and ideas and I need you to talk to them. So they've been a big influence on the things we try to do. And I guess the lessons they keep saying is never quit, keep trying. You keep iterating, experiment, and don't be afraid to fail. I find it really interesting that you guys were tied in directly to one of their biggest successes, Rural Uber. I remember when that went viral, I was like, you maniacs, you did it again.
Yeah, it's, I love that they have that mantra. And I think that we embody that a little bit at Tandem. Is the iterative process. Like, you know, it's not about getting better and aspiring to be better. It's about doing things to get you better. And I think that that's what they're all about, that Justin and Greg, like, they just tried and tried and tried. And failure was not a word they used. They did not say that we failed. They said we're going to try again every time that they didn't see something go their way. And I love kind of seeing that spirit, because that doesn't fail. You don't lose in that situation. You get up, you try again. And, you know, I'm not sure if it's a little bit of stupidity, a little bit of naive to kind of keep getting kicked down and getting back up and going, what else, world? What else have you got for us? But no, they're absolutely incredible at what they did with Justin and Greg. And I think there's a bit of inspiration to a lot of the content we produce that is pretty derived from the period of time we spent with Justin and Greg, kind of developing content with them. We learned a lot, that's for sure.
Now that you've pointed it out, I see their fingerprints on what you guys have done. I think that's super, it's such a Regina thing that we're all plugged into these same people who are just excited to create content the same way we are.
Yeah, it's creating content's fun, and you get to represent a set of people that maybe didn't see themselves that way. And I think that's the coolest part, is like being able to just create content and having little bounds of, you know, like, we have creative freedom. Let's do some cool stuff. Let's make a joke about Rural Uber viral. So, you know, there's no reason someone can't produce a viral video. Just keep producing videos till one goes viral. That's the best advice I can give.
if a company is trying to get a hold of you guys, or they're trying to wrap their heads around social media, and they come to you and they say, I want to go viral. Do they make that kind of demand of you to say, I want 13 million views just like your other video?
We get that more often than not of like, you know, how do I produce a viral video? How do I do this? And our only answer is you make it shareable. And, you know, Justin and Greg, like that rural Uber video has a lot of components. And we actually implement a shareability framework in a lot of videos we produce. Corporate videos, you know, we can't have CEOs with explosions behind them as they're going through their kind of corporate AGM message. But, you know, a lot of the fun videos, the creative stuff we get to do embodies a shareability framework. So it's leveraging emotions. It's, you know, having a goat. It's you know, having certain steps in place. So we have a little checklist that we go through when we produce that, you know, being viral is a side effect of being shareable. And you can't have a viral video just because it's viral. Viral, like, that's not how it works. It needs to be shareable. It needs to be, there needs to be a reason behind the virality of that video. And a lot of people do come to us and like, well, I want viral. And like, while yes, that's quite difficult. It's not impossible. And with a framework, with a good understanding of how social works, that's what we kind of leverage to get a lot of our views. And we have a couple accounts that we manage. Flat Clothing, one of them is, you know, Flat Clothing. We were able to get, you know, 200,000-300,000 views on one video just because we implement a way of using product placement, having a bunny hug, having some sort of shirt on someone in a video. But don't make the video about that. Make it a joke. Make it funny. Make it something that someone wants to enjoy. But most importantly, share with someone else. And the best story I have for kind of the shareability framework and how, like, how does this all work? How do you wrap your head around it? The best way to wrap your head around shareability is going back to the 90s. In the 90s, we all had our bedrooms and they were decked out. They had posters on the walls. They had It was your canvas. It was your space. It was your air quotes wall. Social media is the exact same way. You know, I couldn't walk up to you, Matt, and say, hey, Matt, can you put this Britney Spears poster on your wall, please? Like, you'd be like, that's not my flavor. I'm not about that. Like, I've got different posters on my wall. And it's very similar in social media. To create viral content, you essentially just have to make sure the people are willing to put up your poster in their wall, in their room. If you have a lot of people that want to do that, you've got a viral piece. If you don't, well, it was never actually intended to be viral. It wasn't made for the people. It was made for you. It was made for something else. And that analogy, why it kind of told me one day, and it blew my mind because it's so right. You know, I would never put a Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera poster on my wall. I was a Toy Story boy. Now I'm aging myself, or I'm not aging myself. I don't know which one I'm doing right now.
One of the things we talk about a lot is authenticity, and that feels like that's kind of the idea you guys are mining there with the posters on your wall. One of the things I got to do with Mark was I said to him, I need you to look like a used car salesman. We're shooting a used car commercial, and it's going to be all about our contest. And I knew that I could quickly and cheaply produce the feel of a used car content commercial with the like echoing voice and the cheesy graphics. And I held the camera upside down and I spun it fully 360, and I didn't have to buy a gimbal or anything like that. And it worked out okay. And people after the fact were like, is Mark really like that?
I love it. But it was believable.
And he ripped his pants.
Oh.
He was so into character. He's like, rip. And I was like, uh-oh. Sorry about your pants.
But he probably just went with it. You know, commit to the bit. He just had to own it.
100%.
Yeah, authenticity is huge.
What's next for you guys? What's next for Tandem X? I know we touched on it a little bit, but I want to kind of grasp, what does 2021, 2022 look for you guys?
That's a big question. You know, I think we're building the parachute as we fall, but that only works for so long. And I've said a couple times in passing to other people and other entrepreneurs, like, what we've done has been easy. You know, starting a business, getting a couple people on board, running it, getting clients, like, what we've done has been the easiest part of business. Now it gets really complicated. Now is when you're growing and scaling and, like, you know, talks like, do we open a different location in another province? Like, what are we trying to accomplish here? So when we talk about the future at Tandem, I like to really embody a couple things. First, community. You know, that's one thing that we want to see more of Tandem is deeper, a deeper root in the community in multiple fashions, making it so we can not only look at the community and say, wow, that is a cool community. That is Regina. That's our city. But to see people within our city also start to have that kind of same feeling, same sentiment where they go, yeah, I live in Regina. It's a pretty kick-ass city. Watch out. So I think that's a huge component for our future is finding ways that we can kind of push Tandem tighter and closer into the Regina community. And then also, you know, maybe growing into other cities. We're working on a few projects out in Saskatoon and we're working on stuff just outside of Regina. And, you know, I'm a big advocate on fail fast, fail often. And I'd rather not open a whole location in Calgary and all of a sudden we're, you know, $250,000, $300,000 deep day one. I'd rather, you know, fail fast, get a couple clients and slowly move into different markets. But I think for the future is, you know, we want to grow more in Regina. We want to establish a very significant brand here, not only for ourselves, but, you know, aspiring creatives, people that, you know, look to us and say, wow, like these guys kind of got it figured out. So that's the future. And then, you know, I always love technology. So I look at Tandem and I'm always trying to find ways that we can put technology into our workflow, into how our clients work with us. And, you know, as a social media production agency, the one kind of secrets, and I'm a bold guy. I love sharing all the ideas we have, because if you can copy us, cool. That means you're better than us. You deserve to win. But we've always had ideas for developing our own software in some form of fashion of, you know, something can help small businesses leverage social media analytics and kind of have a posting platform that allows them to not only just like post their content, but get a good understanding about what some of that data means, because data is actually the root of all success on social. And, you know, like I was saying with virality and shareability, you can track those things and you in the iterative process, if you can keep improving on that, that means you're going to get better and better as a business. You'll reach more people, you'll grow your brand. And so, you know, I won't allude to too much, but technology is in our future somewhere. But technology expansion, different cities, maybe Calgary, maybe Edmonton. I'll leave it open, but definitely community.
What big project should people look for from you guys next? What do you think is going to be one of your monster projects for this year?
Well, we're in the progress of doing some absolutely incredible videos for Canada's Farm Show this year. So you can, if you're in ag and you're loving that, feel free to check that out. Cultivator has a 24-hour ag tech startup coming out here pretty quick. So that you can check back and see a lot of our content. Audacity is something you can always go to and see fresh stories and videos of content. If you're looking for a little laugh, take a look at our social media. But I would say keep an eye on Audacity, keep an eye on the local chamber and local different things. Keep an eye out for cool visual content. There's some cool stuff coming in the pipeline. I can't allude to too much, but if you see something that makes you go, wow, that was a great piece, that probably was one of our videos.
Don't be humble, ever.
Don't be humble. Just own it. Yeah, I got a beard in my hand at this point. I've got the confidence of the world.
If people want to check you guys out, where should they go?
You can find us at TandemXVisuals.com, TandemXVisuals on all social medias. Yeah, feel free to reach out. Like, we're getting to the point where I can actually comfortably go for beers with people and not feel like I'm risking my life. So feel free to reach out. If you guys have anyone has any questions about marketing themselves or growing or scaling or video or photo and every single thing in between, yeah, just reach out. We're a pretty approachable group. We love beer. We love coffee at this point after I've been forced into both of those choices. And yeah, we love to share our knowledge. So our website and any social, TandemX Visuals.
Well, Josh, thank you for your time today.
No, thank you, Matt. Thanks. Thanks for the chat. Thanks for the beer. And I'm glad that I've got a couple more to enjoy this afternoon.
Cheers, man. Rebels, thanks for listening today. If you have any questions or comments about this episode, be sure to join us on our brand new Facebook group page, The Rebellion Brewing Podcast. I'm going to include links to Tandem X in the show notes so you can find them online. I'm also proud to let you know that we're members of the Saskatchewan Podcast Network, It's a one-stop shop for tons of locally produced shows from across our province. You can find them at saskpodcastnetwork.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Untappd so you don't miss out on the latest in Sask craft beer news. Thank you for joining the Rebellion.